And can we just get one thing clear that all three of us on this podcast do know that size does matter.
The Crumbs.
Hello, welcome to The Crumbs, episode 2. It was Biscuit Week. You are with Courtney, Tom and Hamish. We have just watched the week 2 episode and we are here to share our thoughts with you. Initial, right off the bat, guys, how do we feel about Biscuit Week?
Crummy.
Crummy. You had that one planned.
Straight in with the puns. Tom, what were your thoughts? Like, just overview of episode 2.
When it comes to Showstopper, I started to get a bit excited. But the first two challenges, I feel like they're a bit meh. I feel as though, like, I don't know if it's easier for us, like, sat here, like, commenting on their bakes, but they also had a really easy signature. Bloody shortbread.
I feel like if I was going to have an overview of this episode, or, like, one word to describe it, and this has nothing to do with the bakers, I think it was more to do with the challenges and what they had to bake, very dull. Just very dull.
I think it's safe to say that there's, like, an asterisk next to everything kind of like that we're saying that could be seen as negative towards the show is not aimed at the bakers.
Oh, absolutely not.
It's just kind of like, I guess, a comparison for like what our cast went through versus this one. And I think it's just like, it's quite clear that there's a different food producer on the show because like, as Tom said, the challenges are easy peasy Edmund's Junior Cookbook, yeah.
I think they're just lacking a bit of excitement for a viewer is the biggest thing I would say. Like, you have to see something visually appealing in a baking show because we can't taste it. So I need to see something exciting. And a green, crummy pistachio biscuit, not that exciting to have a look at, you know? One more, like, overall point I wanted to bring up before we sort of get into the episode. And this is a little bit of a dig at TVNZ, so sorry, TVNZ. But I feel like this season is really lacking a bit of spice from TVNZ. So for our season, you could hop onto TVNZ On Demand as it was back then, and you could download the recipes, and there was like baker profiles and all this fun stuff. And there's none of that this year. Like the amount of people who have been messaging me asking like if I have the recipes, which I don't, for like the technicals and some of the bakes, and none of it's up there.
Courtney, I tend to agree. I feel like from the get-go, it's they only started advertising it a couple of weeks before, and I feel like the marketing has not been as strong as our season.
Which is funny, because we didn't think the marketing was that good on our season.
Yeah, I know. At least we had recipes at New World.
You'll note Hamish's silence as a former TVNZ employee.
Zip. Yeah. Can I just say, I've got my notes from the show that we watched last night. And my first note is, like, before we actually start talking about the show itself, I just want to just clarify one thing. And that is that me and Hamish kind of laid into Courtney about actually having never been to Japan. But Courtney actually did post some photos in our group chat this week that look authentic from her time in Japan. So I think we just owe her a bit of an apology.
No. This is Pam, Courtney's mum, is an expert photoshopper. These are all photoshopped. I will put them on the Instagram. Don't you worry.
You should put them up for the listeners to see.
I will. And they can make up their own minds. Because the world needs to see these photos.
You know, I think like last week I was talking about the presenters and how they lacked a certain je ne sais quoi. I feel like they upped their ante this week. There were some cute little funny moments, and Pax was pretty funny as well.
I also enjoyed there was a lot more like sexual innuendo, I feel like, especially from Pax, which I enjoyed. With like Jonathan, when they talked about size not mattering, I love that sort of stuff on Bake Off. I feel like that is the bread and butter of Bake Off.
And can we just get one thing clear that all three of us on this podcast do know that size does matter.
100%.
All right, first up in Biscuit Week, we had shortbread, one of the hardest biscuits to make, right?
Wait, what the fuck?
I think I made a shortbread when I was like 18 months old. It was delicious.
Out the womb making shortbread. I would argue that we had to make almost shortbread as well and just put like nice fillings in ours. Is melting moments right the same?
I did. Yeah. I did think that before. I thought, oh my God, we're going to slag off shortbread on the podcast. I know it. And then I was like, actually, we had melting moments for our signature in Biscuit Week. So it's not too dissimilar.
I also was horrific at my melting moments. So I have no like way to talk here. I was shocking. So the biggest thing I think that stood out to me, and Hamish, we've already had a chat about this, was poor Jordan being lumped with describing the challenges.
It's like the way that fucking poor Jordan has to describe the easiest thing in the world. Last week it was drizzle. This week it was what she's looking for in a shortbread, and that was for it to be short.
I do feel very sorry for her. You know, there's a producer being like, so tell us what shortbread is.
And her, like, you can just hear her eye roll, just being like,
Straight off the bat, the one that excited me the most was the savoury one from Monique. And that's just because I know how sick you get of sweet stuff. And already I'm like, give me, like, parmesan, rosemary, bit of relish. That sounded right up my alley. What about you guys? What did you like the sound of?
In my notes here, I wrote down, I might have been quite drunk by this point, but I'm a big fan of Victoria's purple earrings and matching purple eyeshadow. She looked really good. Victoria, if you're listening, you looked really, really good this week.
Victoria is a serve. She had like this beautiful like green jumper on and then purple eyeshadow and earrings.
Yeah, and I think like matching purple like grape earrings or something.
I'm crying that you two are the ones that noticed this. And I'm like, what?
We are homosexual. We are homosexuals, Courtney, to be fair.
You're what?
Also, look at us. Look at us and look at you.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm clearly not the pretty one on the podcast, am I? What about you, Hamish? Who stood out for you?
For me, it was kind of anyone that just added that extra bit of texture, because shortbread can be a bit, like, I mean, they're delicious and, like, melt in your mouth and kind of yum and standard, but you kind of need to add something to it to make it stand out, because shortbread by itself is just kind of...
I think Francesca did pretty well in that first signature, did she not? She had a real nice savoury one as well.
Nope, not even close. Do we watch the same show, Tom?
She did like raspberry, the little with the piped little beep, beep, beep on top.
Francesca's shortbread to me wasn't shortbread. And I don't know if I've got this wrong or not, but for me, shortbread is like, yes, a cookie, whereas hers looked like a baby cake. I mean, I like thick, but that's too thick.
Said no one ever.
But do you know what I mean? Like, it's shortbread and hers looked like an actual cake. And it's same with Kihi's ice cream scoops. That just doesn't resonate shortbread to me.
In the UK, you get these like shortbread fingers and they're quite thick. So I think maybe that's what she was going for, but they were definitely too big.
And also putting that much icing onto shortbread, I feel like shortbread doesn't need icing. I think I agree with Hamish where it's like texture and flavours, yes, but like icing, no.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, then it kind of creeps into melting moment territory, like Hugo's. I was like, that is a delicious looking melting moment. Would that, you know, incorporate shortbread? But if it was shortbread was like the hero of the challenge, I'd be a bit like, oop.
I agree that I don't think that was probably shortbread, but it is one of the ones that I most wanted to put in my mouth.
One thing I really did like in the signature challenge was a comment that Peter Gordon made to Nikita, which was like, maybe one of the only times I've heard a judge say something useful in a reality show, like just across the board, was when I think Haley was like, what do you think about this drizzle? He just said really practical advice, which was try it plain and then drizzle it and try it with a drizzle. And if you think it's added something, then use it. Which I was like, man, they always kind of leave it vague. Like I remember when I was watching our season after I left.
You left?
All of like Dean and Sue were just kind of like, up to you. Like, we're kind of trying to make you guys make mistakes, but this was just really practical advice, and I appreciated that, Peter Gordon. Well done.
That also makes me think behind the scenes, he was probably more helpful as well. Like, again, in our season, we'd do these technicals or we'd do these bakes and we'd kind of get a little bit of feedback, but there was no real, here's how you could improve in the future or here's how you could do this. And potentially that's because all the bakes are pre-prepared, so it's not like you can really change things up for your next bake. But as a general learning experience, how cool if they can actually go up there and get some like learnings from Peter and from Jordan, right? That would be super cool.
The crumbs.
Okay, so I guess that leads us into the technical for this week, which was Peter's...
Brizolona.
It was Peter's pistachio.
Brizolona.
Never anybody heard of it.
Brizolona.
I've never heard of it.
Brizolona.
And I don't want to again. It looked like the world's most boring biscuit.
It kind of looked like a flapjack.
What's a flapjack?
What the fuck's a flapjack? What's wrong with you?
Kind of like a pancake-y.
It's a pancake.
Pancake? No, Hamish, oh my God, you guys don't have flapjacks over here.
What is a flapjack?
Okay, a flapjack is first thing you bake when you're out the womb.
No, that was shortbread, wasn't it?
Flapjack is a really delicious kind of oat slice with treacle.
Okay, just to defend myself, in America they call pancakes flapjacks. That's why I said it.
And in New Zealand, we don't have flapjacks. It looks like a thick Anzac biscuit, like an Anzac bar.
Sounds like it's good for digestion.
We love a biscuit that's good for digestion. Gut health, everyone. Gut health.
This episode brought to you by...
Gut health.
Yakult.
Yakult.
I love Yakult.
Yakult. It's not called Yakult. It's called Yakult.
Excuse me, I'm from Japan.
I don't think Yakult is.
I'm pretty sure it's not Japanese.
Wait, is Yakult not Japanese?
Just because it looks like a Kewpie bottle doesn't mean it's Japanese.
I'm sure it's Japanese. I'm Googling it now.
Oh, maybe it is. I was thinking like Scandinavia or something.
Me too. I was thinking European vibes.
Yakult is a Japanese sweetened probiotic milk beverage. So I would just like to say again that I love Japan.
Oh, God, fuck's sake. The technical was not exciting me this week. I feel like the flavour components were quite a bit more exciting, but the overall look was really underwhelming.
For me, it was a little highbrow. Like, Spritzelona sounds like a delicious cocktail I'd enjoy on, like, the Amalfi Coast, but it's not a biscuit that I want to fucking munch on.
Oh my God, I wish I was in the Amalfi Coast.
In our season, I thought that Dean couldn't write technical, like, recipes. He would always give us the worst instructions. And I feel like Peter took a leaf out of Dean's book with the term, pull it against itself.
The last time I pulled it against myself, it ended up pretty differently.
It was in the technical that Hugo had his little lovey moment with Pax, and I must say, I did write it down. I thought it was very cute. And they also showed him helping someone, which is a big thing for me, like helping someone out. Like, again, we all need to remember these people are not here fighting it out for $500,000, right?
They're fighting it out for a fucking glass plate.
A glass plate. So, like, if you're not being a good human and helping people, I don't understand it. So, all in all, I think we can decide that was a fairly average, not overly exciting technical. Last place was Kihi, and then second to last was Hugo, and then third was Nikita, second was Brooke, first was Monique. And I'm going to put it out there, Monique is a little bit of a dark horse, I feel like, after this episode.
I love Monique. I think I mentioned in our last episode her Starry Nights cake was like the one that kind of caught my eye. The way Monique approaches everything is just really calm, and I think she's definitely going to make her way up the ranks in this competition. Tom, you made the Spritzelona. How did that go for you?
So I was tasked with making the technical this week. The Spritzelona, I want to say.
Can I interrupt? You weren't tasked with making it. You volunteered before you even knew what it was. And I said to you, what if it's shit? And you
just,
were like...
Yeah, so just own it and be like, I stupidly said I'd do the technical this week and it was this piece of shit biscuit. Don't fucking lie to us.
I stupidly said I'd do the technical for this week because I felt like I had to take a more active role in this podcast.
Was it hard? Did you find it difficult?
It was real easy. You basically had to blitz all the ingredients together, form a biscuit, squash it into the tin, wait for it to cool down slightly, whip up the mascarpone cream, like squirt it on top, and then like do a praline as well. And in true Bake Off style, I burnt myself. It actually blistered real bad when I was washing my counters.
The biggest question is, will you make them again? Are they going to be put into your baking rotate?
Will I make them again? Let me think about... No, absolutely fucking not.
The crumbs.
And then we went to the final segment of the show, which is the showstopper. And this week was like your favorite food, but made out of biscuits, which I 100% have seen on a season of The Great Kids British Bake Off. So, lol.
I will call myself out that the Junior Bake Off also had to make melting moments like we did. And there was a child who made rhubarb and custard ones, which is the flavor that I did. And I guarantee you that child did a better job than I did.
Whose showstopper stood out to you guys?
100%. My favorite was Lucas's. That ramen bowl, in particular, my very favorite thing was making nori out of brandy snaps. And don't...
I love Japanese culture. It was my food awakening.
It doesn't have anything to do with Japan. I just think, do you not think that's so clever?
My favorite thing about his bake was the fucking chopsticks and the chopstick wrapper. I was like, you are incredible. Like, it was biscuit chopstick.
He did an incredible job, and I don't think he actually got enough kudos for how good that looked. And it was really 3D. Like, I just thought, good on you, Lucas. That was my fave.
I loved that for him. It was spectacular. And I felt after the episode one, he was kind of just not sitting in the bottom, but kind of blending into the background a bit. So for him to have such an amazing response on that ramen biscuit bowl, yay for him.
Who's your favourite, Tom? You tell us who tickled your fancy.
I really like the look of Brooke's tacos.
in my head when I was watching it, I was looking for like realism. And so with people like Brooke and Francesca, they took more of like an abstract approach to things. So she had like the shape of taco, but like it wasn't like realistically like the, she could have done like a twirl and have the actual biscuit like taco.
Oh my god, a twirl taco would have been amazing.
My standout for the showstopper was Kihi, which I was like so happy because like she did pretty poorly in the first two challenges. But for me, like the one thing that kind of was like, oh yeah, it's this, is the beer, the like pint of beer with like the like 3D froth. Fine. I was like, yeah, incredible.
I think she's very technically talented when it comes to, you know, icing and precision. And we've seen that a few times, and I love that about her.
I do have a special mention for Jonathan's mushrooms. Like, they looked fucking real. Like, his was, yeah, that was like a probably a close second.
And what did we all think about Monique's egg?
I loved the egg. I loved the concept. I liked that she had, like, wholemeal bread and white bread. I've never found anything more painful to watch than Jordan trying to push that friggin' piece of fake bread into that fake egg. It did my head in.
Oh my god, it was so awkward.
I think the quote was, should it go all the way in?
It normally does if you just relax.
What I loved about the egg was that fucking, like, I think Monique's, like, low-key creative genius, that, like, little face that she'd painted on it was so fucking, I was like, what did you paint that out of? Because it was so detailed, and so I was like, yeah, this, I want this soft-boiled egg.
I've already said it, but I genuinely think Monique could be the dark horse here. Like, initially she didn't stand out to me, and she's not doing anything crazy, but I feel like she's got some really good underlying, like, just technique, and like you said, some really good creative ideas that I think are going to see her go, like, a decent amount of way. Is that even English?
A decent amount of curds in way. Can you please just clip that audio of you wheezing so I can just have that as my, like, ringtone?
What did we think also about Hugo's pizza?
Hamish?
She doesn't want to say anything bad about Hugo.
Hamish, do you want to answer first?
I reckon Hugo showed, like, pretty good technique by having, like, macarons. Like, that was kind of cool. I think it took it away from actually looking like pizza. Like, I think they didn't look like pepperoni because they were fucking macarons.
Yeah, I think he was flexing in that challenge.
He did have a quote, which was, anyone can make macarons. And I'm a living example that not anyone can make macarons. I'm shocking at
macarons
them.
Are the hardest thing to make.
Yes.
Does he live in Auckland? I don't think he lives in Auckland. You can't.
The humidity,
yeah,
forget about
fucking hell.
No, he's Wellington, so it's probably the perfect place to make them. But I've tried to make macarons so many times, and him being like, anyone can do them. No, Hugo, they can't.
His presentation was awesome, though. I love when he was like walking up with that giant pizza box. I was like, yeah. I think the presentation on the season so far is like, they're really pulling all
that is literally in my notes. I wrote, these guys are a lot better at props than we were. And you know what? Props to them, because I...
Oh my god, I was literally about to say that.
We've missed the crucial note that I wrote down about the Showstopper Challenge. We had to make fucking biscuit chandeliers, hanging 3D contraptions, and they got to make their favourite meal out of biscuits. I'm angry.
Get out of town.
The crumbs.
So wrapping up brisket. Wrapping up brisket week.
Brisket week. Yum. I would have preferred brisket week if we're being perfectly
honestly,
honest.
Sign me up for brisket week. Whenever that's coming, I'm here for it. End of biscuit week. Star Baker was the wonderful Victoria. And going home was Francesca.
Victoria definitely had some good bakes. Throughout the whole episode, she wasn't sat at the top, was she?
I'd say she was, like, mid-high. Her showstopper was maybe, like, a good all-rounder in terms of, like, it looked pretty good, and the flavours, again, we can't taste it, so it's really annoying, but they must have been. They sounded really good.
I think it's one of those cases where sometimes consistency is going to be the winner. Like, if you have a really good showstopper but a shitty technical or a shitty whatever, then you're not going to get Star Baker. But if you manage to do, like, three pretty decent bakes, then that's when you're going to potentially get in there over someone else.
What do we think about Francesca going home?
I've had a pretty decent squiz through Francesca's Instagram, and she looks very talented when it comes to cakes. And I would say that she has a really specific style that she's incredibly good at, but potentially coming into a show like this where you're having to do so many different types of bakes, and you're also in a very different environment. Like, I think we can all agree that actually your baking prowess is not going to win the show. It's your ability to perform in that kitchen under the cameras, like being organized, how you deal with stress. Like, that is probably more so what comes into par than how you can actually bake.
It's about how you adapt, and I think Francesca is just like, this is me.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Well, her leaving quote, which I actually kind of loved, was, turns out it has to taste nice too.
Which I think she was being hard on herself, because I think, like, I mean, fucking hell, I'm just going to sound like a broken record, but we can't taste it. But when she's describing her bakes, I was like, man, they always sound good. I think for her showstopper, it was like brown butter biscuits. And I was like, yeah.
We know that Hamish loves some brown butter. Heaven forbid that you don't brown all your butter constantly.
And we know Courtney loves to cut right through the butter paper like a fucking savage.
Why would they put the little grams on the outside if they didn't want you to cut there?
Because you just press down a bit and mark it. And also use the fucking scale, you monster.
So Courtney, you caught up with Francesca this week. How did that go?
Bloody lovely. It was so good to have a chat with her. I feel like I got a lot more of her personality. She's a lovely girl. Let's have a listen to what we talked about. Welcome to The Crumbs, our second guest.
Thanks. Excited to be here.
How did you feel watching that episode last night?
Good, actually. I was worried about the way that I was going to be edited, maybe, but it was fine.
I think because you're relinquishing control to someone else about how you're portrayed, it's very nerve-wracking. That was the thing I found the most worrying each episode, was not how I baked, because I already knew what that was. It was more, God, what did I say? Because you kind of don't remember, right?
Exactly. And the whole time I was on the show, I was so worried about that. I think I was so aware the whole time, and that's why I sort of may have come across a little intense, because I was terrified of saying the wrong thing.
I completely relate. I think you came across great. You were so chill and you seemed very relaxed in the barn, which I think is one of the biggest hurdles, is that people get so panicked and you weren't. So that's like a huge thing. Like,
I was panicked.
Internally panicked. It didn't come across as panicked. So you did a great job. Something that really resonated with me, and we were actually quite similar in my second episode where we did biscuits, I made shortbread for my nana. And you also made shortbread for your grandma, which I loved. So tell us about, what's her name? Eileen, is that right?
Yes. Grandma taught me to bake, and like, she was just my best friend growing up and loved her so much, and was reluctant to go on the show, to be honest. But I was like, Grandma would fucking love this. Like, she would just, it would just be like the coolest. Like, she used to love TV, so if she had ever seen me on TV, she would have lost it.
You're so similar to me. So my nana had also like passed away only actually a few years before I was on Bake Off. But I had like the same feelings, just being like, she would froth this. Being able to bring in like your family and stuff like that and do something for someone is just amazing. And I'm sure she would have been so bloody proud of your shortbread. Were you like happy with all of your bakes from Biscuit Week?
No.
What weren't you happy with?
Oh, I really struggled with the signatures. Like, I was listening to the podcast last week and completely agree with Hamish. He was saying, like, they just set us these really simple bakes, and my brain just went sort of into overdrive, and I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, if you're making shortbread at home,
you just make shortbread, right?
Yeah. I was like, what can I do to make this better? What do they want? Like, are they looking for? And then I added a buttercream and he was like, why have you put buttercream on this? And I was like, I wanted to redeem myself just from last week. My peers, I added 5 to the recipe because I thought I would need extra. And then I forgot that they were my extra peers and I added all of them.
That's such a behind the scenes thing as well, because like, for people who haven't been on the show, you have to supply a recipe and you kind of don't know at that stage if you're going to be able to get your hands on extra stuff if something goes wrong. So a lot of people write their recipes like with extras or a double amount. You just kind of forget in that space and you're crazy and you're like, yeah, 5 pairs sounds great. And we go. Like,
good, chuck them in.
So would you have done anything differently if you had your time again in those first couple of weeks? Apart from the 5 pairs.
Yeah, I'm like, I have awful anxiety. So my strategy going in was just keep it simple, keep it manageable, do things that you know that you can do, because I knew that I was going to be like mentally struggling with the process. And I was like, I need to worry about that. My baking can be chill.
Yes.
And that was definitely the wrong strategy, because everyone else went like all guns blazing with their baking. But I don't actually think I could have done that. Like, if I was making a million different elements and like jellies and creme brulees and all that shit, like, I just would have lost it. And I was not prepared to like lose my mind over a competition with no prize.
No prize. You heard it. And I think like what you just said is incredibly self-aware, that you would have not done well had you pushed yourself in that just the way anyway. So you were like, I'm going to do the best thing for me. And that's all that you could do. And again, I think you came across really well on TV, which is such a huge part of it. I just say, like, incredibly brave, having known that you obviously are like suffer with anxiety and stuff, like to choose to go on the show. Was there a moment where you were like, oh, maybe not anymore, maybe I'll pull out of this? Like, did you have that?
You can see the light leave my eyes about 10 minutes into episode one. Like, as soon as things started going bad, I was like, why am I here? What have I done?
Why did I choose? You didn't have that moment when you get start sent, like, because obviously they send out all the recipe requests to you beforehand. Did you not have that moment then? Because I think at that stage I was like, oh, this is a lot of work for like a TV show.
It is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But I was sort of, I enjoyed that part. It was like just baking at home. Like, you didn't know what everyone else was making yet, so you weren't making comparisons to other people. You were just like vibing. And then as soon as you got on set, it was like, oh, everyone else is fucking amazing.
So another fun thing that you got to do was a little Women's Day story. How exciting. On your pole dancing. So how long have you been doing that for?
So I've been pole dancing for like 2 years now. And that has taken over baking in terms of my hobbies. So
I'm going to say it's probably a lot better for you, like, physically than eating cakes is getting on the pole, right?
And also just funner and sexier, so.
I reckon you can combine the two somehow. Like, imagine a hen's do where you do some, like, pole and then you, like, decorate some cupcakes.
I'm planning, like, a photo shoot covered in buttercream.
I feel like buttercream is going to be very slippy on the pole, girl. I don't know if that's going to work.
Just in the appropriate places.
Do you have anything else that you, like, wanted to say? Anything that you feel like you didn't get to express being on the show?
I wanted to tell Tom that my mum's music box exists. And fuck him.
I'm keeping that in. Fuck him. Fuck you, Tom. I must say, that carousel cake was gorgeous. You can have a go at me as well for telling you that you needed to put more edible stuff on it if you want.
I was planning on doing that, but I'm not about that life. I'm not about the stress. I was like, oh, make them out of chocolate. Nah, fuck that.
It turned out beautifully. It was such a gorgeous cake. And I feel like there's little girls like all over the friggin' country who would love that cake.
I love that. That's so cute. The one thing I wanted to say, I was not anticipating a change of judges and I was very prepared for Sue and Dean. I had read all of Dean's cookbooks. I was like, Sue doesn't like any crazy flavors, so I'm going to do plain flavors. And then fucking hit me like a truck with the caker who loves
random stuff. Seaweed. I can tell you though, girl, being on my season and also doing Pretty Plain Flavors, it didn't go well for me either. Every week it was like, this is a bit boring. Like, could you not do something a bit more exciting? Like,
this is Bake Off, not MasterChef. Calm down.
What annoys me is like every season they'll say, simple done well is best. And then you do simple and you do it well and they go, oh, imagine if it had some like pepper in it or something like that, you know? It's like, oh,
not my vibe.
Well, I'm very sad that we don't get to see you on the show anymore, because you did bring some life into the barn, which is always fun to see. We wish you all the best on your pole dancing buttercream covered future, and thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Oh, pleasure to be here.
So that was my chat with Francesca. Her Instagram truly is wonderful. So go and give her a follow. BloomBakes_.
Do we know what next week is?
I think it's retro week. That's what I'm going to guess.
Oh, get fucking wrecked. What the fuck does that mean? I hate the show.
I'm sure it's something to do with retro. The showstopper looks like it's going to be some sort of like retro coloured cake. Like, you have to design it in retro colours. They're looking like they're doing a quiche, I think, or like a quiche Lorraine or something like that for technical.
Yeah.
80s vibes.
Yeah, it's either going to be like 80s week, 70s week, or like retro week.
That would have been fun. I could have worn my hair in like a side pony or something.
Thank you guys again for listening to episode 2. Next week, we think we've got retro week or 80s week. We'll see what comes our way. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at The Crumbs Pod. And if you are listening on Apple or Spotify, please give us a rating, whether you like us or not. 5 stars only, please.
We'll send you baking.
We'll send you some pistachio biscuit from Tom. It sounds delicious.
The Crumbs.